Marianne.
Go ahead, Marianne.
Hi. In the reading, it says the talk charges should always be positive, and I'm not having that experience.
I'm saying they should be or should not be?
Well, in the reading, it says that they should be. Keep them light.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to do a talk charge, I'm getting what you mentioned, obstinate spouse.
Uh-huh.
Mine's a couple levels above that.
Okay.
So I get, like, venom coming back at me.
Right.
And so then no matter what kind of light topic I choose, it's thrown back at me. I want a divorce. This isn't worth saving, all that stuff. So it's like there's never a positive interaction.
Right.
And how do I not play into that, and how do I turn that around? Because I'm a very non-confrontational person,
right. Okay.
And my husband is like a pit bull.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay, so let me make a few suggestions, see if I can be helpful here.
Okay.
So first of all, let's talk tactically a little bit about the talk charge itself and how to do them when you're dealing with very obstinate spouses like Marianne's husband. You want to take charge of the call. Know in advance that if you pass the baton, if you pass the mic to your husband, he is going to sabotage the call. Therefore, don't pass him the mic. Call prepared, take charge of the call. Don't ever ask him a question. I shouldn't say ever. Right now, given as things are, don't ask him a question. Instead, as soon as you get him, jump right into whatever it is that you called to share with him. I have to tell you this. You wouldn't believe what just happened. I just saw Joe down at the store and XYZ and ABC. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Bye. He didn't have a chance to sabotage the call. You never gave him the mic. So tactically, try to apply that principle, taking charge a little bit more of the call. Now, I'm not naive. I'm not naive to think that that's going to work. I think it will help, or I wouldn't advise it. But I'm not naive to think that that's going to work 100% of the time, or that your husband is still not going to somehow corner you, maybe in the kitchen,
right,
or something like that, and he won't even wait for you to call. He might call you, or he won't wait,
right,
for you to initiate the conversation. He's going to come barging into your bedroom or your office or whatever and start, you know, flailing away. So
exactly.
Okay. So let me go further. How should you handle that? Well, number one is don't participate. You know, you can't fight with somebody, or it's very hard to fight with somebody that doesn't fight back. It's no fun, you know. When we're yelling and screaming at somebody, we want them to yell and scream back. First of all, it allows us to justify the fact that we're yelling and screaming at them because look how they're treating us. So you can try to diffuse the energy by not contributing to the energy that he's trying to create. Instead, you can actually shift the energy by, let me give you just two examples. They're just examples. There's lots of ways you can shift the energy. But let me just give you two examples. One is, or maybe three. One is to respond to his decimal level with the exact opposite decimal level. To respond to his yelling and screaming with your soft, calm voice. And to respond to his attacks with your understanding of his feelings. So, for example, I hate your guts. I never loved you and I want a divorce. Wow. Sounds like you are really, really angry and frustrated and just finished with me, and that you want out. what's he going to say? You see how diffusing that is? You know, when someone's arguing with you, they want you to argue. And if you don't, the argument's over. Now, mind you, in that illustration, what I just role modeled, I didn't say that you agreed with him.
Okay.
I was just demonstrating that you understood him. There's a big difference. Don't feel that you've compromised anything. I mean, just to offer what I intend to be an innocuous example, you know, whoever you voted for in the last election, so, you know, let's say for discussion purposes that I voted for Obama. That doesn't mean that if I had a conversation with John McCain that I couldn't explain to him very well and accurately exactly what his intentions were and what his policies would be. He would feel completely understood. Doesn't mean I agree with him. Just means I understand him. So too in this example, if you re-listen to the audio file of the illustration I just gave, I did not say that I agreed with him. I was merely demonstrating that I understood him, and that's very diffusing.
So when he asked me questions such as, you can't honestly believe that if we haven't worked this out in this last year, then how can you even believe that we might be able to work through it? That kind of stuff.
So first of all, you have to be smart enough to recognize that.
Maybe that's the problem.
No, let me finish the sentence. I'm sure you're smart. You have to be smart enough to recognize that just because a sentence ends with a question mark doesn't mean it's a question. In the example that you gave, that's not a question. A question is when you really want an answer. Right? That's a question. In that example, your husband doesn't want an answer. He's not open to an answer. That's not a question. That's a challenge. You know, reconciling a marriage is not like playing a ping pong match. In ping pong, when your opponent hits you the ball, you got to hit it back. And if you don't, you lose. A lot of people think that reconciling a marriage is like a ping pong match. Mort, my husband asks this, how do I answer? He says this, how do I respond? Who says you have to answer or respond at all? Just pick up the paddle, pick up the ball, and put it down on the table. Don't play. King David says, silence is a fence to wisdom. Sometimes you have to be smart enough to know when to just be silent. And so with a question like that, I wouldn't answer it. There is no answer. Sometimes when people ask me how to answer questions, I appreciate that they think that's good. But nobody's that good. In other words, there is no answer. There is no good answer to that question. Not from me, not from anybody. And therefore, just don't go there.
Okay.
Just don't go there. The other thing I want to say in response to your question, which might be helpful to you, is your husband is he's rejecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's rejecting you hard. He's trying to derail you. He's trying to discourage you. I guess I've really already talked about this, but basically what I'm saying is that he's going to try to get you to cooperate with his agenda. And there's a bit of a power struggle that goes on here. You can't lose that power struggle. The power struggle is between the obstinate spouse who's trying to discourage you so much to get you to cooperate with their agenda because they don't want to be the bad guy. And versus the other power struggle, the other side of that power struggle is you tugging on their conscience, continuing to reach out to try to connect, do everything you can to improve yourself and improve the marriage, and that's going to tug on their conscience, and that's going to compel them to reciprocate because they don't want to be the bad guy. Nobody does. And the first one to cave loses. Don't lose that power struggle. Anyway, Marianne, was that helpful? Did I answer your question to some extent?
Yes, it was.
Good. Thank you.